Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In this podcast, I chat to all sorts of normal Christians, asking them just how they live their quiet lives and how they integrate their faith into their daily life. I hope that by listening, you will be encouraged to go out and live your own quiet life to the glory of God. You can find the episode show notes, the Quiet Life blog, and other resources at ruthamos.com.au. That's ruthamos.com.au. Now let's get on with the show. Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth from ruthamos.com.au. This is episode 7. That's a good number, isn't it? 7. Very important number. Anyway, this is episode 7. As I record this, it's Wednesday the 21st of November 2018. And today's guest is Josh. And he's a first-year uni student. He talks to us about his recovery from addiction. He talks about God at the university. And he had some great thoughts on community that got me thinking so much. That's what I put in my blog post earlier this week. So yeah, I love what he says about community, and I love what he says. So it was a really, really good interview once again. So I hope you enjoy it. I think you will enjoy it. I really hope you will. This week in my life, just to keep you up to date, it's been a big week again. I think it's the time of the year. We had a wedding on the weekend, not ours. We went to a wedding on the weekend, but more than that, we had members of the band come and stay at our place, which was really lovely. As an introvert, I'm not very good at having people stay over, but we've been blessed with such a beautiful large house with space, and I feel it's a good thing to do to share. We opened up our house to these three beautiful people, and I'm so glad we did because we just had a lovely time together. They were gorgeous. So a big shout out to Daniel and Sophie and Nikita. It was so great to have you with us. It was quite fun actually, because Daniel is the introvert's most favorite type of guest. He was fantastic because he's doing his PhD and he was close to hand in time and under the gun and writing up his thesis. So he turned up on Friday night, the girls went out to a movie, and he said, can I write? And I said, yes, you can. And we set him up at the dining table, and basically any spare minute he was home, he was writing up his thesis and not talking to me at all. So I just sat on the couch and read a book. Don't you all want to come and stay with me? I'm such a party animal. It was great. And Daniel, I'm praying for you as you hand in. It's a big deal. I remember what that felt like. So that was really fun. The wedding, before the wedding, I went to my friend Lindsay's book launch. So shout out to Lindsay. And if you want to read a good, fun urban fantasy novel, James Munkers is what she writes. James Munkers, Super Freak, and James Munkers, Freak of Nature was her second book. And I've got those lined up to read once I've read the books that I got out of the library and the other books that I've been given. And yeah, I love reading books. It won't take too long to get through them all. So Lindsay Little is the name of that author. We went to her book launch now. What was really fun there was that the book launch was being held at the same time, pretty much, as the Christmas pageant. So we all got in early, but once we were into the bookstore, we were stuck in the centre of the city while the Christmas pageant went around us and couldn't get back to our cars or get out. So you had to stay. So the book launch was all very good and wonderful. And then after that, I went into the shops to buy the wedding card for the wedding. And there was no one there in the shops because they were all outside watching the Christmas pageant, which is great because that meant that the shops were very quiet. It was very easy to get a coffee. And if I was in any way organised, I would have done my Christmas shopping because it was just no pressure. It was just really fun. I wasn't organised though. So I just sat there going, right, next year, mental note, do your Christmas shopping while the Christmas pageant is on. Shops are empty. People are willing to serve you. It's a really good idea. So anyway, next year. So after that, after the Christmas pageant made its way by, I went back home and then we went to the wedding, which was gorgeous. Sarah and Brian, happy congratulations. It's wonderful that you're married. It was a beautiful wedding. Brian is from Ecuador and Sarah is from here in Tasmania. So there was a bit of cross-cultural stuff happening in the wedding. A beautiful song sang in Spanish. And Brian's mum prayed for the lovely couple in Spanish. And, oh, our hearts melted. She was just so gorgeous. And, of course, I couldn't understand much more than gracias, but everyone knew what she was saying, and it was just lovely. And then the reception was the same. It was just a really beautiful time, again, of community, low pressure, gorgeous, just gorgeous love shown by the family to each other. And yeah, it was just a wonderful time. And then on Sunday morning, I got up and led the church service. So if anyone has read My Year of Saying No, you will know that that was just too much for me. And on Monday, I had scheduled, yes, a rest day in my calendar. It says rest day. So I rested. I rested all day Monday and pulled myself together and felt like new on Tuesday morning. Well, almost. It was good, though. It was really good. So then I was ready to face this week, which is the book launch of the book that I have written under my other author name, RJ Amos. So that launches on Friday. I need to plan my online Facebook party and, start doing some advertising. And yesterday all the books arrived. So I have 6 boxes of books sitting at my front door waiting for me to get them out and sign them and send them off to people and traipse around trying to flog them to anyone who will take one and pay me for it. yes, so if you want one of those, of course, you can write me at ruth@rjamos.com or ruth@ruthamos.com.au. Or if you want an ebook copy, Amazon, iTunes and Kobo are there, all ready to go on Friday. So very exciting. So that, yeah, life isn't slowing down, I'm afraid. But it doesn't, does it? And I don't want to be too busy. So in the midst of all of this, I am sitting here thinking, wow, I really need to take stock of what I'm doing. But I love every part of what my life holds at the moment, which not many people can say. So I'm very, very grateful for what I have. Yeah, so one of the things I thought I might ask today in my little intro bit is if one of these episodes that you listen to is especially meaningful to you, or you think it would be especially meaningful to somebody else. If you know someone whose family member has been diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's, for example, then you could share last week's episode, Rosina's episode, with them. Or if you know someone who is struggling to conceive, you could share episode 3, Phil Benham's episode, with them. Or if you know someone whose child has been diagnosed with autism or who has been diagnosed with autism, maybe episode 2 with Sarah, you could share with them. Or if you've got a uni student in your life that you would love to be encouraged to share the Lord at uni, then today's episode is for them. But if there's a meaningful episode, something that you think would speak to a friend of yours or a family member, please share that episode with them, probably through the website or using iTunes share function, and let's get the word out so that people can hear these encouraging interviews. That would be wonderful. Anyway, I hope you have a great week. I'm intending to have a great week. I'm going to have the book launch party on Friday afternoon and then rest on Saturday. Saturday's the day off. And Yeah, and I look forward to telling you just how that went next Wednesday. So God bless, and let's enjoy this interview with Josh. So welcome, everybody. I'm Ruth from ruthamos.com.au, and this is Josh, and it's very great to have you with us today, Josh.
Thanks, Ruth. It's good to be here.
So Josh is a first-year engineering student. Yes,
right. That's correct.
I did send that to him before I had to check, and then suddenly I had this thing this afternoon. Is he studying science? No, I'm sure it's engineering.
Yeah, that's your son that's studying science.
No, he's doing engineering.
Isn't he doing a double?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, science and engineering. There we go.
I'll take it back.
Now I'm worried. I don't even know what my own son is doing, let alone you. Anyway, and Josh is also an intern at our church, which is a new thing that we're doing. This is the first year, so we're pretty excited about it. You're the guinea pig. So.
Oh, I am the guinea pig, gosh. I'm also the gopher. I get to fetch all the coffees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's my official capacity. I think it's actually on the contract.
Awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you need to put these things on the contract.
Yeah.
And last year, Josh went to India for a couple of weeks, and so I'd like to hear about that too. So it's good to have you with us. But we're going to start with how did you become a Christian?
Yes, it's a good place to start. Gosh, slowly, I think, is the word I would choose.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I was very normal, I think, church family-wise. Mm. I had committed Christian parents.
Yep.
I grew up always going to church, surrounded by Christian friends and family. I kind of went through a couple of different phases, as I think is pretty normal for most people to go through. It was an interesting experience. About maybe 11 or 12 years of age, I started moving away from Christianity a lot. Mm-hmm. As you do, you tend to experiment, I think. Around that age, you tend to go, oh, this is my parents' belief and not mine. And that's certainly what I did. Got into an addiction with pornography, which lasted me for about 4.5 years, and which I'm actually, don't think me a terrible person, but I'm actually really grateful for, because it is what brought me back to Christ, and it is only by Christ's intervention that I got out of that addiction.
Wow.
And that was, I think, a big turning point for me. That was about the time. Yeah.
Was that, I wondered if you were going to talk about this, was that
due
to the presence of the internet in your house or?
Yeah, it's.
I just know a lot of parents worry about their kids and what to do about this, but.
That's a fair call. It definitely had an impact on it. If I hadn't had internet access, I'm sure I would have found another way to get to it once I was in it, but having the internet access there meant I could just walk into it.
And then at some point with that, you realise, I don't like who I am now. And like everybody, hits rock bottom at the addiction stage.
That tends to be how it happens, yeah. So I ended up getting to a point where I, stood back and took stock and was like, I'm really not very proud of who I am at the moment. And so I tried for months to kill it myself and get rid of it. And
how old were you then?
Before. 15?
15, yeah.
I think. Yeah. Because I got baptized the year that I kicked the addiction. I think that was 16.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I tried so hard and could never make it out. Mm. And eventually what ended up happening was Dad found my internet history, which I deleted, which is frustrating. Definitely had deleted it. No, there was no record, and yet there it was on the computer. Yeah. It was the Holy Spirit, if nothing else. That was pretty cool.
It's good to know. I think sometimes maybe we pretend that computers are beyond the power of God to deal with. So it's
so true.
Evidence that it's not right. So your dad found your internet history.
Yeah, which was so good. I didn't think that at the time, but. But that was the big moment when everything changed. And he was amazing. He did not condemn me or have a go at me or get angry. He was very patient and very compassionate and essentially talked me through it and got me to talk to Peter Adam as well. who's
our pastor of our church.
That's correct, yes. And he ended up pointing me towards a really great resource called Setting Captives Free, which is an online program which deals with purity in addiction.
We will put that in the show notes.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Wow.
So cool. So that helped you to kick the addiction. And at that point, you also decided, well, I guess you can't kick it without help from God.
I had to majorly revamp how I approached my faith, I think. And that was the biggest thing that changed, was that I went from being a consumer of Christianity to someone who was now actively participating in it, if only to get out of this thing that I was in.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found, I am absolutely certain that your story is going to help many people as you go through life. Have you found that you've already, in your youth group times or talking with other kids about it, that it's come up so far?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been something that I've found, especially with boys. This is obviously one of those things where I have a story which is really helpful for some people. I can't use this to deal with girls' situations for obvious reasons, because that gets into a whole lot of different issues. But especially with boys that I've come into contact with, and young men who've been struggling with this, including some of my friends as well, it's been invaluable for coaching them through it and being able to empathise with the struggle. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that.
That's right. Awesome. That was the biggest point, I think.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's just been a continual process of growth since then, which has sometimes been fun and sometimes been painful. But that's the joy.
That's the journey, isn't it?
It is the journey.
Yeah. So Josh got baptised because I was there down at Kingston Beach, and it was cold.
Yeah.
In the middle of winter.
I was a very brave Christian. You have to be brave to get that first in winter here.
In Tasmanian seawater. It's fantastic. So how does this internship work at church? What's the deal there? What do you do?
Get coffees and grab stuff from the printer. Seems to be my biggest
job. It's like any internship.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. No, I get to do a whole lot of different things. I've had this question so many times, and every time I think my answer's been different. I don't actually know what I do, really, when it comes down to it. First semester was it was a lot of study. I did a lot of Bible work. I shadowed Mark a little bit with what he was doing.
He's our youth pastor.
That's right. And I'm kind of his subordinate. He's my supervisor.
Yeah.
And so I got to shadow him and follow what he did a little bit, but per semester was mainly doing a lot of Bible study, figuring out that kind of stuff. And that was really it, actually. That was my first experience of internship. And once I moved into second semester of this year, it changed into much more hands-on planning, organizing, lots of, dealing with details issues. So especially with a kids camp that we've had at church these last couple of weeks, Chaos, which ran for 5 days, I was coordinating the day out for that camp. And so I dealt with all
How many kids were there? Were like 60 kids?
80.
80, 80. Okay.
It's a lot of kids. Yeah. Oh, it was a lot of kids.
Yeah.
So I got to deal with where they all went, how they were fed, how we moved them around, all the child safe, all the safety stuff from around that. And that took up a lot of my time for this semester.
Absolutely. Because you have, like, how many hours a week is it?
12. Yeah.
So it's not actually a lot of time. And then included in that is youth groups. And you also do a class with the grade 7s.
Seven eights.
On a Sunday.
That's right.
So this is a really cool thing.
It's so cool.
They come out after the sermon and you unpack the sermon with them.
Yeah, that's right. I just get to chat with them. It's the most awesome thing. I don't know if that's correct grammar. But it is the coolest thing to be able to do, is to be able to spend this time with these grade 7-8s after the sermon and unpack it with them. So that is a part of my job. I've super enjoyed.
And that's... Yeah, sometimes I think, some sermons I think, oh, the adults could really do with going out and unpacking this. I guess we're supposed to do that after church. Yeah.
That's but, right. Yeah. What else is the after church for? Yeah, it's not socialising. That would be
yeah. Okay. Okay, so India. I know you can't, so I just want to say up front, Josh can't talk about the people.
It's very serious.
Because, we're putting this out on the internet, and Christians in India will be in trouble if it's a whole different story for them. But how did that two weeks in India change your life?
that's a talk about big questions.
Yeah, we only do the big questions here.
That's right. Oh, why waste time with anything else? In so many ways, it's hard. I don't think I'll ever nail it down to one thing, but I'm going to try anyway.
Happy with more than one.
Okay, cool. I think one of the biggest takeaways I had was God's presence, God's active presence.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to pray for something in faith that it will happen and then watch it happen in a way that we don't see over here at all, whether that be because of whether we expect that to happen or whether God just works in different ways in Western countries, who knows? But it is certainly humbling to watch the simple faith of an Indian pastor who just knows God is God and believes that what he says will happen.
Mm.
And it happens. Mm. That was a very humbling thing to come away with.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I could talk about India for a while. How long do you want?
You can talk about it a bit more. Got a few more questions here.
All right. Okay, where to start? India was, for me, an emotional roller coaster, something I was not prepared for at all. I think my emotions, let's just jump into some maths. I think my emotions resembled a sinusoidal function for the majority of the trip, meaning that they were just peaking and then completely crashing and then peaking and then completely crashing the whole time. It was constant. And I noticed at the end of the day, I would write journal entries and I would be in a really good mood because that's when the sinusoidal function was reaching the derivative zero, right?
I get that, yeah.
That's what it was reaching the top. It was reaching the turning point. Yeah. And I was like, and I realised about halfway through the trip that my journal entries were not going to reflect my emotional state at all very well.
Yeah.
But I feel like God was breaking down some stuff in me that I had false assumptions about. And so I remember coming off the trip and thinking, I will never do that again because that was so hard. And now I'm whatever it is, a year later now, and I will go back in an instant because it is the most encouraging thing and inspiring thing that I've ever done. And God has made me a stronger Christian, has increased my faith. He's upped my appreciation for the power of prayer. And he's given me an understanding of what faith looks like in action, I think, which is something that might be a little bit harder to grasp over here.
We just have it so easy.
Yeah, we do have it very easy here.
Do you find that your faith is showing itself at uni, or how do you find your faith shows itself at uni?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. I find that a lot of the time my faith will manifest itself in how I approach deadlines and exams. Now I have someone to complain to when I get stressed about exams.
Right.
And that's God. Yeah. But at uni, I think the biggest thing at uni is that I don't need to succeed, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not a license to cop out.
But your self-worth isn't tied up in your exam marks.
That's right. Last year it was very much the case. Year 12, my self-worth was very much invested in how I did. And because of that, I did really well. because, you know, it's insecurity. But this year I think God has really, really shown to me that my self-worth needs to be tied up in Him.
Mm.
And so now I can approach assignments, exams, courses a little bit differently. There's nowhere near as much anxiety or stress about them because they don't define who I am in God's sight.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it means I've had some very interesting conversations with some friends who have noticed, picked up on that, and I've been able to lead it back to God and have some pretty cool conversations sometimes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I don't hide it at all.
Yeah.
It's very fun to be able to say, yeah, I'm one of those Christian weirdos that you hear about. Let's talk.
How weird am I?
That's right. Exactly. It's awesome. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. I had another one about church that I didn't put in the right place. But anyway, are you finding that working in the church is growing your faith and your understanding of Christian life?
Absolutely. Yeah. Majoritively around community.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Because before now, I've never really had a church community. We've been church hopping since I was about 7, which is terrible, actually. but we've been here at St. Clement's for 5-ish years, I think, now.
Your family now.
That's right, exactly. And it's been incredibly awesome to see that family and understand how that works. We're not going there just because we like the people, though we do like some of the people. but the church family aspect of it is, in a way, really humbling, really encouraging, and really inspiring, I think. And that's something I've only really seen this year, working there, seeing how people pull together and help each other out and get behind each other for no other reason than they are just family.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been really inspiring to see.
I think you need to stick with a place for a while to come to that point of being family, don't you? I don't know.
No, I think there's definitely truth to that. It's easy to take a church as a consumer if you're just there for 2 or 3 years and then you move on before making any serious connections. Mm. Yeah, definitely what I was used to before we came here. Now I have to get to know.
They're all very strange
people. Oh, they are, aren't they? Gosh, that church is weird.
Yes. Cool. When do you feel closest to God?
Yes. Now, full disclosure, you sent me these questions earlier in the week and I had a look at them briefly, and this is the one that was a bit of a standout. I kind of stopped when I read it and I was like, huh. I think the answer to that question is when I'm really fully invested in my work at youth. And I don't mean going to youth and being there and doing the things, but I mean when I'm able to really connect, really invest, be completely away from self-centered kind of thing, be completely other-centered and just pour energy and love into these kids' lives is when I feel closest to God. And it's also really weird because it's the most exhausting thing I think I do, but it's also one of the most exciting and fulfilling things that I do. And every time it just gets me so, so ramped up to do it.
That's awesome.
I think that'd be the answer, yeah.
That's such a great answer. I love it.
Well, thank you.
Do you feel like having had all this experience, this is not a question I gave Josh before, so.
I'm not ready for it.
All this experience in missions and working at a church and stuff, do you feel like, oh, now I'm going to go and work in full-time Christian ministry, or?
All this experience. I don't feel like I've had a lot of experience. I still feel like I'm new at this. I know a lot of people wouldn't say that, but I suppose I'm a relatively old hand as things go. Among people my age.
Among people your age, that's right. That's the thing.
Yeah. Full-time Christian ministry is not off the table for me, but it's not also something I don't feel interested in pursuing at the moment. My internship hasn't turned me off it. If anything, it's made me more interested in it. But I don't feel like that's a direction that I'm passionate about going. I am super passionate about working at our youth groups. I'm super passionate about working in the Chaos Kids Camp and Treehouse. I love that stuff. But becoming a full-time minister for me doesn't fit with whatever it is gets me fired up about youth group. And I don't know why that is,
but
that is how it is.
And a big part of you is interested in the engineering and obviously the maths if it comes out in this kind of a conversation in that building.
Ah, yes.
So, yeah.
I do tend to think that way a lot, unfortunately.
I don't think there's anything unfortunate about it.
Oh, it's just like there's something simple about maths. It's so satisfying. But yes, I am interested in how things work and why things work a lot of the time. So engineering, can be a passion too.
Mm.
And I say can because it can also be incredibly boring. But that's the nature of anything, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think there's always a boring bit. All right, finally.
Yes.
Deep breath. What's one thing about God and Christianity you wish everyone knew?
Wish everyone knew. Are we including? So this is everyone, secular and non.
Yeah.
Everything.
But if you've got a message just for Christians, that's fine.
This is a message. This is like, what would you do? Save the world or cure cancer?
Yeah.
You know? What's one thing about God and Christianity that I wish everyone knew? I wish everyone, including Christians, understood God's love, including me, because I don't. I wish I did. And I think if everyone understood the depth of that, it would completely change everything. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
That's a hard concept to unpack, though.
Well, I think it's one of the wonderful things about God's love is that we can keep exploring it for the whole of our lives, probably for the whole of eternity, and never reach the end of it.
That is going to be sick.
Yeah.
I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go. Yeah, I hope that's the answer you're looking for.
That's a great answer.
I was thinking, okay, got to be deep. What do I do? No, but that is something I think, Christian and non-Christian alike, I think that's something we all need to understand.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm.
Is there anything else you'd like to say before we finish?
No, I don't think so.
Cool.
Go the Cats.
Edit that bit out. Well, thank you very, very much.
That's all good, Ruth. It's been a pleasure. It's been awesome to come over and chat to you about Christianity and life and stuff like that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope this has been encouraging for you. I want to especially thank Catherine Joy Music for the theme music. If you would like to help me fund this podcast, you can find me at patreon.com/quietlife and help me out for as little as $1 a month. If you want to contact me, you can email Ruth at ruthamos.com.au or find me on Facebook at Ruth Amos Author or tweet me at A Quiet Life. I'd love to hear from you. God bless. See you next week.